Alhamdulillah, our guest today is Mawlana Salman Yunus, Damat Barakatuh. Let's welcome Hazrat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana Salman, all well on your side?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Mawlana, all well, this side, all good. Your side, how's everything there, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, everything is well on this side. Last time you spoke to us beautifully on Palestine, Gaza, and mentioning beautiful points there for us to take benefit and lessons. Mawlana, today, what's on Mawlana's mind first? That's what we need to speak on.
Alhamdulillah, previously we had discussed some points of Gaza and the way forward as us as believers on not losing hope and to keep that momentum of that spirit alive of trust in Allah Ta'ala. And yeah, always has been my habit, and it's what I like to always talk directly from Quran, and especially surahs of Quran, which is familiar with all of us. So today, inshallah, I thought of discussing Surah Al-Fatiha, which we are all very familiar with and we read every day, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Mulana, you can continue, inshallah.
الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. There's an Arabic saying that goes: النعمة إذا فقدت عرفت. That when a bounty is snatched away, then only do we cherish and we appreciate that bounty. Now, when a person loses that which he had thought to be his God-given right, which he thought that I must have this, he doesn't really appreciate it as he thinks it is right. But the moment it is snatched, now he begins to realize, you know what, that this wasn't my deal, but it was a favor upon me. It was a bounty and a trust and an amanat upon me. Our salah likewise, that alhamdulillah, we are performing our 5 times daily salah, and we should be performing our 5 times daily salah. But it should not become something which, like a ritual, but rather it should be a moment in our day, moments in our day, which we look forward to, because that is our time to connect with Allah Ta'ala. That is a time in which all my worries, all my problems, all my difficulties goes aside. And when I raise my hand for that takbir-e-ula, then everything gets thrown behind me. And now it's only me and Allah Ta'ala. There's nothing else, no matter what I might be going through, whatever my family might be going through. But it's just me and Allah Ta'ala, and it is my chance to draw from the unlimited treasures of Allah Ta'ala. Now, many a time we hear that people ask the question that I am reading my salah 5 times a day punctually, and I'm trying to get this khushu and khuzu that is spoken about, this concentration, this comfort, this happiness in my salah. That is what I'm trying to do and trying to aim for. But even though I am performing my salah so regularly, then that is not there. For example, another verse of Quran says that إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That salah, it prevents and it stops a person from immorality and from sins. But yet, I am still committing so many sins. So, firstly, we should always understand that the words of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of Allah Ta'ala are true. And irregardless of what I might be saying in my seeing in my life, definitely there is truth behind the words of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I now need to introspect my life, that am I doing that action completely correctly in order to see the full results? If I'm only going to service my car to a certain part and not do the complete service that is necessary and needed, then I only got myself to blame when I do not see that end result that I am aiming for. So one aspect of our salah in which we can try and get this concentration in our salah is via understanding those parts of salah which we read so often and so frequently. Now, the aim is obviously to try and know the entire understanding and the message of Quran, because we are Muslims. And we have grown up as Muslims, or we have come into the fold of Islam. And now once we have mastered the reading of Quran, now let us try to master the understanding of Quran via an alim, via some trusted, authenticated tafsir or translation of Quran. And as I've made mention before, the one very simple, easy to understand is Quran Made Easy by Mufti Afzal Ilyas Hussain Rahmatullah Alayh, where beautifully he has put in simple English the meaning with a short tafsir of the Quran attached to it, if we have to go down that line. The best is still to sit with an alim. Nevertheless, those surahs which we read so often, at least those surahs, let us sit down and learn those meanings. Today with the internet, with the technology, there is so much out there which we can benefit from. And we should utilize it to benefit and let go of any harm and not go towards any harm that there might be there. So in Surah Al-Fatiha, we see one of the miracles of Surah Al-Fatiha. I myself can say that if, example, I'm reading a Surah Kawthar, Surah Nas, or Zohar, then for Asar and Maghrib and Isha, I feel it a bit cumbersome to read it again. I feel like I read it already. Let me read some other Surah. Whereas if you see Fatiha, every single rakat of every single salah has Surah Al-Fatiha, whether it's our nafil, our sunnah, our farz. And for years we might have been reading it, but how much of the surah do we actually understand that my Allah wants the surah and has put the surah in every single rakat of my salah? And there must be some reason, some hidden wisdom, some great wisdom that every single salah, every single rakat got Surah Al-Fatiha in it. And for us to go to this year, let us once we learn how to recite it correctly, now we have to see the meaning and the translation. So now we are standing for Salah and we are reading those ayats of Quran. You'll see how so much enjoyment will come because you understand what you are saying. Now that Surah, that ayat, you'll be reading it slowly. You'll be reading, you didn't want that Salah to end because you could feel that connection as though you can feel Allah is talking to me. Allah is talking to me by the Quran I am reading in my Salah. So in Surah Al-Fatiha, very quickly, inshallah, we go to the meaning and some pointers for this period of our lives, for this time of the year, in which, inshallah, we could apply and take lesson from. Allah Ta'ala opens up the surah, A'udhu Billahi Min Bismillahi Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah Ta'ala opens up, Alhamdulillah, all praise is for Allah. Rabbil Alameen, Rabb, the Lord, normally is translated as the Lord of the entire universe, the Lord of all the worlds. Now, if you just have to look at this one line, this is the opening verse of Quran itself, and our salah is the opening verse. We are saying Alhamdulillah, all praise is thanks to Allah. By just doing this here, we are saying, oh Allah, no matter what I have in my life, no matter how much you have given me, I am making shukr for it. I am grateful for the children you have given me. I am grateful for the family, for the job, for the security, everything. And no matter what difficulties there might be, or no matter how much unease there might be at this time, oh Allah, I am grateful. It could have been much worse. I could have been on the streets. I could have lost it. I could have been in a much, much worse situation. Oh Allah, all praise is for you. So when we are starting up the surah, that's why it's between you and Allah, everything is left behind. Alhamdulillah, everything, all praise is only for Allah who is in control of everything. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala says, Rabbil Alameen, the Lords of the entire universe. Now, when we say Alhamdulillah and we understand this next part, we'll get to understand why we are saying Alhamdulillah also. This word Rabb, which is loosely translated as the Lord of the universe, the Lord, Rabb, Cherisher, Nourisher. If we have to look at the meaning of it according to the Arabic language, then Rabb means that being who has initiated, who has started, who has formed the concept from the incept. Everything has started with him, and thereafter, not just creating and leaving it alone, but after creating it, now guiding it, now nourishing it, now nurturing it, till the end result. So for our lives, this translation of the word Rabb is so crucial, because from the time we were born, till we became a teenager, a young adult, an adult, till we became married, now even our old age, every step of the way our Rabb, Allah Ta'ala, has nourished us, has nurtured us, has guided us, has shown us the way. He never just leave us. But he took care of us every single step of the way. So whenever we are in our salah, and whenever we are thinking that how am I going to get through this problem? How am I going to come out of this difficulty, this financial stress, this health problem? Remember, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, all praises to that Allah who has taken care of me, who has nourished and nurtured me from the time I was a baby right up till this moment in my life, who has guided me until the day I die. Allah will do the same. So that same Allah who has taken care of me, where I thought problems before was never going to come to an end, and I saw happiness thereafter. That same Allah, whatever phase I might be in my life now, will take me through it and will bring me to the end of it. So Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah, the Lord, the Nourisher, the Sustainer, the Cherisher of the entire universe. Allah Ta'ala, by saying universe here, saying all the worlds, Allah is showing that you are one human being, one creation of mine in the entire spectrum. I am nourishing and taking care of everything. To take care of you is not difficult at all. Obviously, if Allah has to take care of one or everything, it makes no difference to Allah. But for us as a human being, Allah always uses analogies so that we as a human being with the mindset can understand and comprehend, and also can compare for us to understand. So Allah is saying, I am taking care of the whole universe. That is nothing for me. Your problems, your things, whatever you are going through, that is nothing also. Trust in Allah. So we open up Surah Fatiha with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praises to Allah, the Nourisher, the Sustainer of the entire universe. Now, another way we can look at this verse also is Allah is saying all praise to Him who is in control, who is the mighty, who is the Lord of the entire universe. Allah is showing His power as well. Allah is showing the power of the being who we are worshipping now. That such power, such might, why do we want to go anywhere else? Why do we want to resort to any other creation for assistance, for any other creation for help? Where we got Allah who is in control of everything. So Allah is displaying His might. Allah is displaying here by Rabbil Alameen over here. And thereafter, normally if we look at the tendencies of the world, a boss, a king, a president, he will display his power. But he'll display his power to scare people so that people do not disobey him. So people will always be in line and will not never think twice to doubt his commands. So he'll display his power for their reasonings, right? He'll display his power for their reasoning. Thereafter, you'll see he'll threaten them. He'll say, if you do not obey me, I got this army, I got this power, I got this might. I will do this and do and this as punishment for you, as a means of putting you back in line. But look at Allah. After Allah Ta'ala has displayed the power of Allah, Rabbul Alamin, everything I'm in control of, Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah says, I am the most merciful, the most kind. What a unique verse that follows after understanding the power and might of Allah Ta'ala, that we see Allah says, I am so powerful, but remember, I am the most merciful, the most kind. So when we are reading that salah and we're thinking to ourselves, oh Allah, you have sustained me, you have nourished me, and I have disobeyed you so much. I have done so much sin against you. I am standing here in front of you so sinful. And Allah says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Don't worry. I am the most merciful. I am the most forgiving. Turn to me. This year should grant and comfort every single believer, every single person who has committed some sort of sin. This verse should bring such comfort to his heart, understanding that I understand now my Lord who has nourished me. How can I ever disobey him again? I understand that he has sustained me and given me life and given me all the bounties. How can I ever disobey him? Now let me rush to his mercy. Let me rush to his forgiveness. So not like the kings of the world, that after displaying the power Allah has, Allah never said, this is what I will do to you. Allah says, understand my power and understand that I am the most merciful, I am the most kind. That I am here. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Again, Allah Ta'ala displaying the authority of Allah. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Allah Ta'ala says, I am the judge. I am the king. I am the king of the day of Qiyamah. Maliki Yawm al-Din. I am the king of the day of Qiyamah. Again, showing the power of Allah. Right after displaying the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, I am the king of the day of Qiyamah. Now, why this is so important, this choice of wording? Again, in the third verse, we are reminded again that we will return back to Allah. Allah who has nourished us from that first verse, who has taken care of us till we die. After that day, we're still going back to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So, Malik Yawmiddin, Allah is the king of the day of Qiyamah. Allah did not use the word Qazi. Allah Ta'ala did not use the word judge. And Mufassirin explained so beautifully that Allah chose this word. That if Allah used the word judge, then everyone will have to be equal on the day of Qiyamah, judge. If you did so much sin, then this is your time in Jahannam. If you did so much this, this is your place in Jannah. Everything will have to be paid in accordance. Allah used the word Malik. And from so many ahadith, we see how Allah Ta'ala will just forgive and forgive the believers. On one account of forgiveness or one good deed, Allah will say, all those years are pardoned. Go into Jannah. Now, that only a king can do. A judge will have to be by the book. But a king, he has the authority and the power to do as he pleases, as he wants of the time. It is common sense, common knowledge that, example, a person needed 10 points to make it to the next round. All those that got 10 points, they definitely will go to the next round. There's no such thing as saying, no, you got 10 points, but we're not putting you through. That will be unfair and unjust, and it's not behoving of Allah Ta'ala or of any just person of the world. Allah Ta'ala, whoever made the mark for Jannah, will definitely get Jannah. But that person who had 9 points, 8.5, 8 points, something there, and he was so close, he had that effort. Allah says, you know, if you had a little bit more time, you would have made it till 10. Allah will say, you too, go into Jannah. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. We are reminded here in these verses of the time where we are going to return to Allah, the power of Allah. We are Allah Ta'ala is displaying His qualities. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Oh Allah, You alone we worship. And You alone ask for help. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ You worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And You alone we ask for assistance, we ask for help. Here is a very crucial point. This verse is where we say it is centered between Allah and between mankind. From the start till now, all the verses have to do with Allah, Allah. Now, this verse is separated half for Allah, half for mankind. That إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Allah, only You we are worshipping. So in that salah when we are reading, we should think, oh Allah, no one else I'm standing in front of. There's no other being. There's no other creation. I'm not standing in front over here because my boss is behind me. I'm not standing here because I need a favor from the imam. I'm not standing here because people will think of me as a holy person. Only for You I am standing here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Only You I am putting my head down. Only You I worship, only You I believe in. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And oh Allah, only You I ask for assistance. You have nourished me, You have taken care of me. You are the one that is displaying His mercy and displaying your rahmat. You are in charge of the day of Qiyamah. You, I am telling you, You are the one I am worshipping. So it's only You that is worthy of asking for assistance. No one else has Your power. No one else can do what You can do. Oh Allah, only You can do what You can do. And that is why I am not asking creation. I am not putting my hand on anyone. I am only standing in front of You, putting my head down, standing in front of You, and asking You, only You, for assistance and You for help. From here now, Allah Ta'ala, till the end of the surah, is a dua. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Time is almost up. We're going to rush through these verses, inshallah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Oh Allah, إِهْدِنَا Guide us. صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ On the straight path. Now again, Allah Ta'ala uses the word إِهْدِنَا Oh Allah, guide all of us. That guidance we should want for the whole of mankind, for our families, for our friends, for everyone. We're not making an individual du'aya. إِيَّاكَ إِهْدِنَا We're saying, Oh Allah, guide all of us. We want everyone to go to Jannah. That was the worry of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how each and every single person can go into Jannah. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Guide us on a straight path. In the Arabic language, if you're not going to go into it at the moment, but this is such a path that doesn't have any alternatives, doesn't have any side routes, you can't be detoured anywhere. It's one straight road, and once you're on it, there's no going off it. So Allah, guide us on such a path, and on such a path, there's no obstacles also. There's no way, Allah, that's going to push me aside or anything. But I only can be stuck on this road straight to you. So what is dua? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us on such a straight path that there's no other routes, no other ways out except straight to you. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Oh Allah, that path which you have guided the favored servants of yours, the favored servants, the anbiya, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, the salihin, and another verse of Quran alludes to all this here. Oh Allah, the path of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, all of such, ya Allah, guide us on that path. Now we are asking Allah to guide us on the path of the pious, on the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the path of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. That is our dua. This is my dua. We are asking for that day. But yet, what is happening? We do not, if we think about it, we are asking for this dua. And coming next after, we are asking Allah Ta'ala, don't give us on this part. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Don't guide us on those that have earned your anger and those that have gone astray. Meaning the Jews and the Christians. Now we're just going to end up on these two verses. Very quickly, 2 months inshallah we have left. Why this is so crucial? I'll give you an example before I explain to you. A person goes to the doctor and asks the doctor, please help me with my diabetes. But whilst he's asking the doctor this, he got a donut in his mouth, he got a cold drink on his side, he got sweets in his hand. The doctor will tell him, you're coming to ask for help for your sugar problem, but you are full of sugar and you're still chewing the effects of, you're still going to continue with sugar. What? Don't come ask for help. Because there's no use in coming to ask for help. Similarly, we are asking Allah, guide us on the path you have of your favorite servants. And not on the Jews and the Christians or the disbelievers. But just ask ourselves, our dressing in salah, we are standing in front of Allah, who are we looking like? Our dressing out of salah, who are we looking like? We just ate maybe before Maghrib and again for Maghrib salah. How did we eat like? Did we eat like the chosen servants of Allah, or did we eat like those who are the kuffar, the disbelievers of Allah? So whilst the whole of the second half is a dua, we should ponder that this dua we are making, are we in conformity with whatever we are asking? Are we in conformity with the dua we are making to Allah? Or is our actions, is our dressing, all contrary to what we are asking for? So very, very beautiful surah of Quran. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that every rakat we read it in. And we should try and ponder on these few points, inshallah, especially now coming to the December period, where we know we tend to follow the trends and the fashion of the Western world. And every day in salah, 5 times a day, we're going to be reading the surah. And it shouldn't be such that we are reading these verses, whereas on the other hand, we are totally following the ways of the kuffar. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And may Allah Ta'ala let us understand and realize and appreciate the beauty of Quran and grant us the talab and desire to go further now and to learn more with our imam, with our scholar, local alim, or from some trusted source, as we said. But this will open up our ways and make us reach Allah much faster. And then we'll see how the beauty of Quran and the beauty of Islam will enter our heart, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan for that message. We appreciate your time. We do have another 3-4 minutes if you have a message for us as well. There is a little bit more time, inshallah, if you require.
Yeah, no problem, inshallah. As we just said at the ending, and then we say Ameen, and then we see in the hadith that if that Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Malaika, then the person is forgiven. And being a Wednesday today, inshallah, we know from after Zuhr to Asr is a time of dua. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that whilst we are reading salah every day, remember Surah Fatiha, half of it is a dua. That don't forget to make dua to Allah. That Allah is the only one that can help us. Allah is the only one that can change our circumstances. But we have to come to Allah. We have to turn to Allah, put our head down, raise our hands in front of Allah. Whether it be after a Farah Salah, whether it be we have some time free in the day, we're sitting in the shop and now there's no customers there. 2 minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds. We do not know which dua will reach the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So yes, alhamdulillah, many of us, and we should have a time allocated in a day where we sit and we make dua. But if any time comes, say, let me make dua, then let us raise our hands. And even if we cannot raise our hands due to our environment or due to our work, then let us just have the du'as coming out of our hearts. As we see in Surah Fatiha, Allah is teaching us that make dua to Allah. And the best dua Ask Allah for hidayat. Ask Allah for guidance. When Allah guides someone, there's none that can misguide him. But if Allah doesn't guide someone, then it can be how many people to talk to you, nothing will change. Until a person himself realizes that I need to make a change in my life, that a point in my life has come. I have passed 30, 40 years now. How much more of this dunya am I going to entertain? How much more am I going to get eaten up and consumed by the world? Whereas I know every day people are passing away, every day. So let it not be such that the only time dua is made when someone is at my qabr and making dua for me. But rather let us make dua before people can make dua for us, and we'll see how Allah Ta'ala can open up ways for us, especially now coming to the December time. We know the fitnas out there. Make duas for ourselves, for our children, to be protected from the fitnas. For the Muslim Ummah, the people in Gaza, people in Syria, the people in Lebanon, all these countries, what is going through them, the only power is dua. Dua is the weapon of a believer. We do not need any material needs. Allah has the unseen armies of Allah. Allah can send that hurricane. Allah can send that earthquake. Without us having any machinery, Allah can destroy the kuffar. Allah can destroy the enemies of Islam. Provided we have this trust in Allah, and we learn from Surah Fatiha of the might of Allah, the power of Allah. Allah is taking care of us. Allah will take care of us. And we have to make dua to Allah and turn to Allah more and more and more. And just on a side note, that many of us will be planning our holidays coming soon, inshallah. Our children will be at home. Let us put up the salah times at home. Write it on a whiteboard, on an exam paper, to give that consciousness of salah during the holiday time, and to plan our holidays such that we might be traveling, but let it be such that, okay, Zohar time is a certain time, we'll stop at this masjid or at this garage, you got a musalla. So plan our holidays in accordance to salah, in accordance to the timings of salah, and we'll see what a blessed journey it will be, what a stress-free, problem-free journey. And at the end of the journey, at the end of the holiday, we'll feel even better knowing we had that holiday whilst being in the complete obedience of Allah Ta'ala.
Man, Salman Yunus, Jazakumullah Khairan for your time. Make dua for us as well. We appreciate this strong message and the highlight on Salah, Suratul Fatiha as well. We hope to have you soon, inshallah. Make dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah.
That was Mulana Salman Yunus. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, the podcast will be prepared.